This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Dua means only one thing. It doesn't have multiple meanings. Dua means calling upon Allah. This is dua in Sharia. Okay. You said dua to Isa alayhi salam. You're not sure if it's shirk.
This is haram. This is a grave matter. This is terrible to call on the saints. However, we do not do takfir. We do not say that this is a kafir who does this.
You're saying shirk is relative to time. What is shirk today is not necessarily shirk in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And if you make that claim, you better be ready to qualify it from evidence. If you don't have evidence, don't even try it, because it has been enough already. Okay. Isa, you're saying that Isa alayhi salam, you can make dua to him and you're not sure it's kufr or shirk.
Right, let's see. Okay. Let's see the clip.
Yeah, can we put up the clip, guys, and let's see what Daniel said.
And can you tell me which episode is this? Because I want to know the full context.
Well, this is definitely you. As I can see, this is definitely you. But I don't know which episode this is. I don't know. Yeah, let's play, guys.
Imagine this scenario where a Christian is praying to Jesus and saying, oh, imagine this Christian has some kind of disease like leprosy. It's like a skin condition. And he knows that Jesus can heal leprosy. And he prays to Jesus, and he thinks that Jesus is God and also the Son of God in the Trinity. And he prays, Jesus, heal me from my leprosy. And is this shirk or not? Obviously, it's shirk. It's shirk akbar, clear cut, no doubt about it. And anyone who doubts that praying to Jesus as God is committing shirk is also a kafir, if you doubt that. Because it's very clear cut. This is praying to another God other than the God, Allah. So that's the Christian. But then this Christian, he learns about Islam. He reads the Quran. It starts to make sense. And then he becomes a Muslim. He accepts Islam. But he becomes like a Sufi. He becomes a Sufi Muslim. And he starts thinking about Jesus. Well, Jesus is a prophet. And Jesus had these different miracles. He could cure the sick by the power of Allah, by the will of Allah. So Jesus is like a wali. Jesus is like a saint. And I'm going to pray to Jesus. I'm going to do istighatha to the saint, to Jesus, to heal my leprosy. Oh, Jesus, heal my leprosy. This is istighatha. So the wording is the same. The dua is the same. The only thing that is different is his beliefs, right? Because before, he believed that Jesus is God. After, he believes that Jesus is a wali and is not God, and he's a wali that can only do miracles through Allah. But the act, the dua, is the same exact dua for the exact same thing, and to Jesus. What has changed is just his belief about Jesus. Is Jesus God, or is Jesus a person, a prophet, who has been granted the power to heal miraculously by Allah? Are these two acts exactly the same? The Salafis who say that istighatha and praying to the prophet or praying to Jesus is shirk akbar, like what Jake claimed and what all these other people are claiming, if it's shirk akbar, that means it's exactly like the dua that he was making when he was a Christian. But obviously it's not. Obviously there's a difference. Why? Because he has different beliefs. He doesn't think that Jesus is God anymore. He's a Muslim. He says the Shahada. He believes that only Allah is God and only Allah is Lord and only Allah should be worshipped as God. That's his belief. So how can what he says after becoming a Muslim be exactly the same as what he said as a Christian? It can't be. It can't be the same thing because his beliefs have changed. So that's why I think it's reasonable to say that, well, before, when he was a Christian, he committed shirk akbar. After he became a Muslim, he's also doing something that, if you say it's shirk, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you that it's not shirk. But can I be 100% sure that what he did is shirk akbar in the same way as a Christian praying to Jesus? No, I can't say that with 100% confidence. Because there does seem to be a difference. There does seem to be an important difference there.
Okay. So, Brother Daniel, you know, here, the ummah is unanimous. There is ijma that if you make dua to anyone other than Allah, regardless of your intentions, dua is an act of ibadah by default. Okay? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." That du'a is the essence of ibadah. It's the essence of ibadah. Okay, so praying to Jesus, which is worshipping Jesus, regardless of intention, is kufr and shirk. Do you take back your words and do you apologize? Because you're saying you're not sure. You're not sure if it's shirk. It's one of the most basic things in Islam that if you make ibadah to anyone else other than Allah, it is shirk. Shirk akbar. It takes you out. Because Allah said, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also in Surah Al-Kahf, he said, "Wala yushrik bi ibadati." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow any partners in his ibadah. Okay, so my question to you is, do you agree with me or do you still want to argue? No, you're not sure whether it's shirk 100%.
So in that clip, I say that it's shirk. But the question, did you catch where I said shirk akbar? Do you know the difference between shirk and shirk akbar?
That's not my question.
I answered your question. I said in the clip, it is shirk. But you're misrepresenting the clip. So I'm trying to answer your question and you interrupt me.
No, you're misrepresenting my question. My question is very specific. You said you are not 100% sure if it's shirk. This in itself is kufr. Wait, I'll tell you. I'm not saying you're a kafir. I'm not doing the hukam. I'm telling you my understanding that if you doubt shirk, this in itself is kufr. Okay? So you said you are not 100, you are in doubt. You are confused. Oh, clearly, you're not clear on tawheed and shirk and ibadah. You're not clear. If you were clear, you would have no doubt. Can I answer your question?
I've let you speak. So can you address the point of doubt? Doubt. I've let you grandstand a long time, so let me respond without interrupting. Is that okay with you?
Yes, so please address my point.
I say in the clip that it is shirk, but is it shirk akbar? And you have to understand the difference between shirk and shirk akbar. Because someone, and this is something that maybe you haven't studied, I'm not going to claim that you haven't studied. That's what you say about me. You condescend and
Brother
say that.
Daniel, I'm going to play the clip again.
Again, you interrupting me. Again,
but you're not addressing my point. You said you're not sure. Let me answer.
You didn't understand what I said, so you want to misrepresent me.
In that clip,
I say shirk akbar.
And can you respectfully?
Let me. SubhanAllah. Okay, brother. You want to just talk? You want to have a lecture for the audience?
Please address my point.
Give a lecture and tell everyone what my beliefs are. Go ahead.
No, I won't.
I'll just sit. I'll listen. I'm an audience. Go ahead and speak all you want.
Okay. I want to ask a simple question. You said in that clip, you are not sure if it's shirk. We're not discussing Akbar or Asghar. Wait.
Am I allowed to explain that? Yeah, you've repeated your point several times.
Can you explain that? I am explaining it,
but you keep interrupting me.
Okay.
Can I explain it without you interrupting me?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
So there is a difference between something being shirk and shirk akbar. And if you had studied, you know that this terminological difference is very critical. Because if someone commits shirk akbar, then they can no longer be considered Muslim. They can no longer, but because of the very act or the very statement, they are no longer Muslim. So when it comes to a person praying to Jesus as God, that is shirk akbar. There's no question that this person is a mushrik. They cannot be Muslim because they are praying directly to Jesus. However, is that exactly the same as a person who believes in Allah, has said the Shahada, but he is making the same kind of prayer to Jesus? Yes, that is shirk. Watch the clip again. Rewind it. I'm so glad that you brought this clip so that people can see it for themselves and listen. Yes, it's shirk. But is it shirk akbar? That means that person is immediately taken out of Islam and can no longer be considered a Muslim because he's exactly like the Christian. He's exactly like the mushrik. And this is something where the ulama of Islam have differed. with a very large range of difference. So the position that I have and I express is the same position of Shah Wali Allah Dehlawi, major scholar of India in the 18th century. You have Al-Alusi, the great Iraqi scholar and faqih, who has the same position. He says that this is shirk, this is haram, but is it taking you outside of Islam if you do it? Is it shirk akbar? That we are not sure. That we are not sure because what? It's not ma'loom min ad-din bid-darura. Maybe you don't know what that term means. But something that is ma'loom min ad-din bid-darura, and there's no udhur bil-jahl for that person who does it, that's the only way that someone is going to be taken outside of Islam, because they have called to a saint, they have called to a prophet. That is the only way. This is why this is a major area of scholarly disagreement and discussion. What I express in this clip is what the majority of the ulama of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah has said. The people who disagreed are just these modern Wahhabis, and then very select scholars in the past, such as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. But if you want to talk about these issues in depth, let's talk about it, because you have to understand ma'lum min ad-din bid-darura. Is it known with necessity that someone who calls to a prophet is committing shirk akbar that takes him outside of the fold of Islam? And the point that needs to be understood is it, and this is what I'll ask you, is it shirk akbar to make a request to jinn to assist you? Is it, instead of Allah, instead of calling to Allah, I call to the jinn and I say, oh jinn, can you help me? Oh jinn, assistance. Jinn madad. Yeah, I calling to the jinn instead of Allah. Is this shirk akbar that takes someone outside of Islam? Yes or no?
Very good, Brother Daniel. Amazing, amazing. You see, this is why I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know if you're deliberately not understanding me or not paying attention to my question. I made it very clear that dua is ibadah. Ibadah is only for Allah. Anyone who does ibadah of anyone other than Allah is a mushrik. This is shirk. There is no issue of akbar and asghar here. The one who worships anyone other than Allah is a mushrik outside of Islam. This is known by necessity. Ma'loom bid-darura fid-deen. And I know what the concept means. You don't know. I'll tell you how you don't know. Because you are confused, Brother Daniel. You said in one of your tweets, and I quote, okay, and if you want us to put up the tweet on the screen, we can do that. But I'll read it. So then, you're saying, I'm not sure if it's shirk akbar. First of all, even that's a problem. Even that's a problem. You know why? Because it is shirk akbar to worship anyone other than Allah. The Prophet said, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Dua is ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah.
So you if pray, asking jinn, wait, asking wait, jinn, is that shirk akbar or not?
We'll
is that dua?
Jinn. No, no.
Yes
no,
or no? What? Yes no, or no? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Brother Daniel, brother,
you did no. Yes or no with me? Yes
be
or no?
Gentle, be gentle.
Why can't,
be gentle,
why can't you answer the question?
Brother Daniel, be gentle.
Answer
be gentle.
The,
we're going to get
jinn.
We're going to get to
this. Is that shirk or not?
Brother Daniel, you don't know me.
Yes or no?
Brother Daniel, you don't know me. I'm not in the business of running away. Please relax. We'll come to the jinns. We'll come to first. Let's deal with prophets. Praying, making dua to jinn, making dua to angel, making dua to prophet, making dua to stone, tree, elephant, monkey. Okay, Uncle Sam, making dua to anyone. Making dua to anyone is shirk akbar, because dua is ibadah. You are simply ignoring the point. Maybe deliberately. I don't know. I can't get inside you, but you need to understand my question. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Du'a is ibadah. Allah said, "Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in." We say to Allah when we pray in al-Fatiha, we pray to you alone. You alone we pray to, O Allah. You alone. Ibadah. Okay? So, if du'a is ibadah, and ibadah is only for Allah, then du'a can only be for Allah. Okay, the Quran has made it clear in multiple places that make dua to me, I will respond. Surah Baqarah, for example, is there. Make dua to me, I will respond. Okay, so ibadah to anyone other than Allah is shirk akbar. It takes you out. But you said, you were talking about Shirk Asghar and Shirk Akbar. You said you're now claiming that you did believe it's Shirk Asghar, but not Shirk Akbar. If you're not sure if it's Shirk Akbar, it is Shirk Akbar. And if you think it's not, then you are in doubt about your Tawheed, number one. Number two, coming to your tweet, you don't even think if it's Shirk. You're not even sure if it's Shirk at all. That's what you said. So then our positions are completely opposed. I quote. So then our positions are completely opposed. You say, yes, it is known with certainty that going to the grave of the Prophet and asking him directly for healing is Shirk Akbar, like the Trinity or praying to an idol. I say no. It might not even be Shirk at all. It might not even be Shirk at all. And certainly not Shirk like the Trinity. Let's debate it. You try to prove your position and I'll try to prove mine. Now we're doing exactly that. We are debating it right now or discussing it, having a dialogue about it. You said in your tweet that might not even be Shirk at all. Asghar or Akbar is out of the question.
Yeah, so you go to the grave of the Prophet. Let me explain this.
You can explain this. Let me finish my point. First, you said you accept a Shirk Asghar, but you're not sure if it's Shirk Akbar or 100% Shirk. Now I've showed you your tweet where you said that it might not even be Shirk at all. Brother Daniel, you're clearly confused. You don't know what Tawheed is. You don't know what Ibadah is. You don't know what Shirk is. Clearly, otherwise you wouldn't be making these confusing statements. You just confused everyone in front of me right now, here. You said you were talking about Shirk Asghar and you were not talking about Shirk Akbar. It is Shirk Asghar, but I'm not sure if it's Shirk Akbar. And here you're saying in your tweet, it might not even be Shirk at all. So, Brother Daniel, please choose where you stand. Over to you.
So the problem, this is exactly why we need to have a conversation. This is why you can't rely on just tweeting things, reading a tweet, because istighatha is a very wide concept and it has many associated practices and it has many associated modalities. Don't say no. If you say no, it means you're ignorant of the topic. And you're
we're not discussing istighatha.
Exactly.
Yes. Dua. You said dua, making
that's
dua
what istighatha is. Istighatha is dua. Yep.
No,
this is what is seeking assistance.
Not brother
you're
Daniel.
Denying this?
Brother Daniel. We'll come to istighatha.
Once again, you have interrupted.
Brother Daniel, you're digressing from the topic. You're deliberately digressing. Dua.
You are interrupting me.
Stick to dua. Dua, ibadah. Dua. I'm talking about dua. You use the word dua. You did not say istighatha. In that clip we played, you said, if you make dua to Isa alayhi salam and don't believe that he's God, you're not sure if it's shirk. You said that, okay? And I'm telling you, it is absolutely shirk to make dua to anyone other than Allah. It could be anyone.
Can I talk now?
Yeah,
or
so please stick to dua. The issue of dua, because the dua is ibadah. I'm not talking about istighatha now.
Do you know what istighatha is?
Brother, istighatha, we will discuss later on.
We are
afterwards.
Discussing it. The clip that you played. Can I speak now?
Okay.
Can I?
Look, istighatha.
Can I speak now? Can I speak? Istighatha is the context of the clip that you played. So you played a clip of me out of context, and I said, what is the wider context? Exactly. I asked you that question so that you could be honest and say that this is a clip where you're discussing istighatha. And the tweet that you read is also, you didn't read the entire tweet, it's the thread. It's about istighatha. Istighatha is to seek aid, to call upon someone, call on Allah, call on someone else. I agree that in many types of istighatha, many types, it is clear-cut shirk. And it's shirk akbar.
Dua is one of them, yeah.
Can I please speak?
Yeah.
Can I speak?
Yes.
Because istighatha, again, is one of these terms that is used very broadly. So someone will say, this is istighatha. And someone will say, no, this is not istighatha. This is dua. And someone else will say, no, this is not dua. This is something else, a third category. So if you go to the grave of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you ask the Prophet, you're calling to the Prophet, and you're saying, oh, Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh, ya Rasulullah, make dua for me for healing or for guidance or for a spouse. Oh, ya Rasulullah, make dua for me to Allah to grant me X, Y, Z. Is this shirk or not? And you'll be surprised, maybe because you haven't studied this, I don't know. But someone like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says that this is not shirk akbar. He will say this is haram, this shouldn't be done, but this is not necessarily shirk akbar. And you have the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah as well, calling to the jinn. Here is the quote from Majmu' al-Fatawa. One who employs the jinn for permissible matters is like someone who employs humans for permissible matters. For instance, if they command the jinn to fulfill their obligations or prohibit them from doing what is forbidden, using them in lawful ways, this person is akin like a king who governs similarly. So calling to the jinn, calling to angels. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, calling to the angels. Abdullah, the son of Imam Ahmad, said, and this is also recorded, I heard my father, Imam Ahmad, say, I performed Hajj 5 times. And I got lost on my way during one Hajj and I was walking. So I began to call out, oh, slaves of Allah, oh, slaves of Allah, show me the way, guide me. I kept doing that until I found the road. So here you have Ibn Taymiyyah, you have Imam Ahmad, and they are calling. This is, you might not say this is dua, but this sounds a lot like dua. This is calling to the unseen. Instead of Imam Ahmad saying, oh Allah, show me the way, he says, oh slaves of Allah, oh angels of Allah, show me the way. So is this shirk akbar? If your claim is that this is shirk akbar, then that means that Imam Ahmad was a mushrik kafir, and you should takfir him. Or Ibn Taymiyyah, when Ibn Taymiyyah says, you can call to the jinn for permissible matters. For example, you are suffering from poverty. Oh jinn, bring me wealth. Oh jinn, bring me wealth. Oh jinn, bring me money. Bring me riches. Oh jinn, bring me health. Bring me medicine because I have certain diseases. Bring me medicine. This is what Ibn Taymiyyah is saying. It's not shirk. It's permissible. You can call, okay? Instead of saying, ya Allah, making dua only to Allah, please take me out of poverty. Please guide me, oh Allah. Instead of that, you can call to the angels to help you with these matters, according to Ibn Taymiyyah. And according to Ibn Taymiyyah, if you go to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask the Prophet, you ask and you call on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, oh Rasulullah, make dua to Allah for me, this is not even considered shirk akbar by Ibn Taymiyyah either. So these are the discussions that are being had on, well, what is the nature of calling? Yeah, I agree with you that dua is ibadah. I consider all of these practices haram, and I consider all of these practices to either be shirk or even shirk akbar. However, there is nuance, there is context, there is a discussion. Now, if you want to make a hard and fast rule and say, no, dua is worship, any calling except to Allah is shirk akbar. And Daniel, if you don't affirm this, then you are also, your tawheed is in question. Then also you have to question the tawheed of Imam Ahmad, question the tawheed of Ibn Taymiyyah. Be consistent. That's all I'm asking you to do. Be consistent in your standards, Brother Adnan.
Thank you so much for the long speech, and I expect you to let me finish as well, inshallah. Okay. Now, Brother Daniel, I don't know if he has done this deliberately or he is simply ignorant about these things. He has conflated a lot of things, the issue of jinns and angels, the issue of the wasl through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the issue of istighatha, which has many different modalities, and the issue of dua. So, Brother Daniel, what he has done, he has taken a pot, he has put noodles in there, he has put salt in there, he has put mince in there, he has put potatoes in there, and he has put spinach in there, and then he made a murakkab, like a milkshake. You know, he basically put it in a grinder, and he threw it at me, and he wants me to not separate everything. Separate mince from spinach and from salt and from all those things. So, Brother Daniel, I don't know if you have done this deliberately or you are simply ignorant about these things. The ulama of Islam from all persuasions, okay? Atharis, Maturidis and Asha'ira, all of them have made it very clear categorically that making dua to anyone other than Allah is shirk akbar. It takes you, it's basic tawheed, brother. Okay, you are conflating dua with many different modalities of istighatha and tawassul and jinns and angels. I don't know if you're doing this deliberately, because these are very different matters. Every single one of them is a different topic, right? I am talking about dua. You have now agreed with me that dua is ibadah. You cannot not agree. You cannot not agree. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said it. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. You are stuck. You cannot get out of this one. You only have two choices now, brother Daniel. You say, yes, I was wrong to say that I am not sure if making dua to other than Allah is shirk, because it is shirk, because ibadah to anyone other than Allah is shirk akbar. It takes you out. This is the most basic thing. Okay, we learn. This is the shahada. La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. The shahada, the Wahhabi shahada you took with Sheikh Karim Abu Zaid. Okay, and this is the essence of Islam. This is the first thing a child learns about Islam. La ilaha illallah. Okay, then comes Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no one worthy of worship. Now, what is worship? Worship is ibadah. And what is ibadah? Dua is ibadah. And if dua is ibadah, making ibadah of anyone else other than Allah is shirk akbar. It takes you out of Islam. There is ijma' of the ulama, all the ulama. Okay, except the Shia. The Shia who follow a different religion, and you are very kind and soft to them for some reason. Okay, you've been going after other personalities, and you have completely let free Khamenei and his clan, you know, committing genocides against Muslims. We're going to come to that. I want to discuss that. That's a later point. But we want to deal with this first. Now, brother Daniel, put aside the angels and jinns and istighatha, different modalities of istighatha and tawassul through the Prophet. Okay, not praying to the Prophet, but through the Prophet. Different matters altogether. Ulama have made these distinctions very clearly. I have a long list of ulama. And you have actually misrepresented Shah Waliullah Dehlavi. Shah Waliullah Dehlavi categorically stated in many of his different works that, you know, praying to the dead, going to Qubur. For example, I'll quote one of his statements, Al-Khair Al-Kathir, from his book Al-Khair Al-Kathir. Realize that asking needs from the dead while recognizing that this is a means to having it fulfilled is kufr. It must be avoided. It's kufr. Okay. And the list goes on. In Tafhimat al-Ilahiyya, he also states, all who go to the city of Ajmer or the grave of Salar Mas'ud or anything similar to them for the purpose of an eid, he requests from them, he has committed a sin graver than murder and adultery. He has no likeness but the likeness of one who worships creatures or the likeness of those who would call Lat and Uzza. Shah Waliullah Dehlavi, you just slandered him.
Why don't you finish the quote?
Continue. You want me to finish the quote? Yep. Although we do not make explicit takfir of an individual due to the absence of a text from the... Let me finish the quote. He has said it is like worshipping Lat and Uzza. He's not talking about the hukam. He's talking about what the act is. The act is like worshipping Lat and Uzza. What do you mean? I can do who as well. But let me finish the quote. Okay. Although we do not make explicit takfir of an individual due to the absence of a text from the lawgiver on the specific matter and thus ta'wil being possible. Everyone who specifies life in the deceased and request needs from him, his heart is sinful. So what Shah Waliullah is talking about here is that the seal is needed. You need to ask the person, is this tawassul? Is this istighatha? But generally he's saying going to the dead, asking them. And you cannot ignore his statement. It's like worshipping Lat and Uzza. Who were worshipping Lat and Uzza? The mushrikeen, the kuffar. Okay, so you are slandering Shah Waliullah, not knowing what he wrote. I have his books here. I have his quotes here in front of me. So, and I can go on. He rewrote another book called Al-Balagh Al-Mubin. I don't think you have read it. I have. I have read the book. He wrote thank you. He has written an entire book on this topic, Brother Daniel. Okay. Why Going to the grave, asking the dead for help is shirk. Al-Balaghul Mubeen. Read the book, inshallah, and you'll find some amazing quotes there as well. Now, coming back.
No, but we can't move to from this issue because you are quoting, but you don't. It seems like you don't even understand what you're reading. You just read him say he has not disbelieved. The one who calls has not disbelieved.
He's saying takfir mu'ayyan. Takfir mu'ayyan.
He has not believed. There's no one in question.
Brother Daniel,
that's not what
it means.
Read the quote.
You want me to read? Okay.
Let me finish. I let you speak. And then as soon as I respond, you want to interrupt me. This is not good adab, brother. I'm sorry to say. Let me finish
what
I'm saying.
You know what
Let me finish the sentence instead of interrupting me. Okay. He is saying, I'll read it exactly what you read. Anyone who goes to the town of Ajmer or the grave of so and so saint or to any
Salar Masood,
he requests of them. Indeed, he requests of them. Okay. He has a request. Indeed, he has committed a sin more grievous than murder and adultery.
This is less than dua. This is less than dua.
Again, interruption. SubhanAllah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
SubhanAllah. So his likeness is not like those who worship the creation or like those who call on Lat and Uzza for help. However, we do not state explicitly that he has disbelieved due to the absence of a text from the lawgiver in this specific matter. So what is that saying? That's exactly what I have just said. That is exactly what I've said. We do not consider the ones who do this as kafir.
Okay.
The ones who do this, if again, you're interrupting me. Let me finish, subhanAllah. We do not say that he has disbelieved. You read this. This is exactly what I said. He has committed a grave sin. He has committed a crime worse than murder and adultery. And he is doing an act that is like what the mushriks are doing. But we don't say that he is a kafir mushrik. We do not say he has disbelieved. That is exactly what I have been saying. That's why I refer to Shah Wali Allah as an authority and say that he has the same position. I have the same position as the great Sheikh. Because exactly saying that he has not disbelieved. Why does he say that we can't say that he disbelieved? He say that? If he has committed Shirk Akbar, why doesn't Shah Wali Allah say that he has committed Shirk Akbar, like worshipping Lat and Uzza, and he is a mushrik?
Because
why doesn't Shah Wali Allah say that?
I'll tell you. Now it's my turn, okay? Let me finish. Because he knows there are nuances. He knows that you don't know what action is being committed. If Shah Wali Allah knew they are making dua, which is ibadah, to a deceased person, he knows this is Shirk Akbar. For example, in the same book, Tafhimatul Ilahiyya, okay, he writes, further, the definition of shirk with Allah in worship is to glorify other than Allah, seeking thereby to get near to Allah and salvation in the next life. Amongst the greatest illnesses of this time of ours is their worship of their shuyukh, whether living or of their graves when dead. The ignorant copy the disbelievers of India in worshipping their idols in their practices. The definition of shirk with Allah in seeking help is to seek one's need from another while believing he has the power to accomplish it by applying a powerful will. Like curing the sick, giving life and death, giving provision, and creating a child and other things that are included within the names of Allah. The definition of shirk with Allah in calling out is to mention other than Allah, Jesus, Ya Isa, Ya Ibn Maryam, Ya Ibn Maryam, okay, for example, while believing this action of his will benefit him in the afterlife or in coming closer to Allah, just as they mentioned their shuyukh when waking up in mourning. Tafhimatul Ilahiyya Shah Waliullah Dehlawi. So you're misrepresenting him. You can't just use one statement, one sentence. Wait, let me finish. One sentence, because Shah Waliullah, you don't know what he's saying. He's saying that actions are judged by their intentions. When a person, for example, is doing tawassul, for example, he's going to the qabr and he's saying, oh Sheikh, dead Sheikh, you pray for me. This is not making dua to the Sheikh. This is tawassul. Haram tawassul. We believe it's haram. It's not allowed. Okay. But if he says to the Sheikh directly, just like you said, making dua to Isa alayhi salam, you're not sure it's shirk. Shah Waliullah saying calling upon other than Allah, calling upon them is shirk. Okay?
Because again, you're misrepresenting me.
No. You said, look, I'm not misrepresenting you. You said you're not sure if making dua to Isa alayhi salam, even believing he's not God, is shirk. You're not sure. That's what you said.
No, that's not what I said. I said, I'm not sure that that's the same exact thing as when a non-Muslim Christian makes dua. It's not the same thing. I didn't deny that it is shirk.
You are misrepresenting Shah Waliullah as well. Yeah,
and the quote that you just read.
I have more. I have more hard-hitting, devastating quotes from Shah Waliullah. You chose the wrong guy.
Can I finish my sentence? Can I speak? Yeah. Am I allowed to speak in this conversation,
brother Daniel? Please try to understand. Come to dua.
Please,
to
brother.
Isa alayhi salam,
can I speak? Can I
You're
speak?
Still defending it. You're still
can
defending
I,
it.
Can I speak?
Yeah. Yes.
You have just read a quote that doesn't contradict anything I said. It doesn't contradict the previous quote from Shah Waliullah.
Sorry, I don't agree with that. I don't. No, brother Daniel, stop doing this. It's not working. Stop. I'm not going to let this happen. Don't do this. Shah Waliullah is not saying that making dua to.
You don't even let me. You don't even let me speak. You don't even let me speak.
Shah Waliullah. You don't even let me finish a sentence.
Brother, please let me speak.
Yes.
Can I please finish a sentence, brother? This is not appropriate. It's a very bad look.
But you're wasting time, brother Daniel. You're wasting time deliberately.
Me speaking is wasting time to you. This is not a conversation.
No,
I want to. I want to address your quote. Okay, your quote says that it's shirk. Yeah. And I say that it's shirk. That doesn't contradict anything. I say it's shirk as well. Is it shirk akbar that takes you outside of Islam? Nowhere in the quote that you read from Shah Waliullah does he say calling to the saints or calling to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is shirk that takes you outside of Islam. Produce a quote from Shah Waliullah, from all of these quotes, that explicitly says that if you are praying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or you're making a request of him, you're going to the graves, you have left Islam. You have left the fold of Islam because you have committed shirk akbar.
Brilliant.
Yes, you have committed shirk. You have committed shirk. But let me finish, Akhi, please. Produce a quote that says clearly that you have left Islam. Not that you've committed shirk. I already concede that. I agree with that 100%. If you go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grave and you say, Ya Rasulullah, guide me, that this is shirk. I am 100% agreed with you, with Shah Waliullah. We're all on the same page. The only debate, the question is this shirk that takes you outside of the fold of Islam? That is what the debate is. So if you bring me a million quotes from Shah Waliullah that says that it's shirk, that does not disprove my position.
Okay.
Bring me quotes that say that this is shirk that takes you outside of the fold of Islam. The quote that you read yourself, and maybe you didn't understand what you were reading, says that he has not disbelieved. It's actually a point against your position and in favor of my position.
Good.
So if you can prove that, bring me a quote like that.
You have selective hearing because you didn't listen to the second quote, which is very explicit. Which is very explicit. The second quote is very explicit, very clear. I'm going to read it again. And I'm going to keep going on. And Shah Waliullah is completely going to dismantle your view and what you think your view is. Okay, firstly, simple question. And answer it directly, please. Is worshipping other than Allah shirk akbar that takes you out of Islam?
Yes.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Is dua worshipping?
Define dua.
Dua. Ad-du'a wal ibadah. The Prophet defined it.
Define dua. What does dua mean linguistically? What does it mean?
No. Don't play these games with Daniel. Ad-du'a wal ibadah.
You ask a bad question, and I ask for clarification.
No, okay. Ad-du'a wal ibadah. The Prophet said it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We defined it. Dua is calling. Dua is a shari term. It has shari'i meaning. You were discussing Sharia. When you mentioned these things, you were discussing Islamic theology. In Islamic theology, dua means only one thing. It doesn't have multiple meanings. Dua means calling upon Allah. This is dua in Sharia. Okay. You said dua to Isa alayhi salam. You're not sure if it's shirk. Now, brother Daniel, it's very clear to even...
You're lying.
Wait. Okay, can you play the clip again, guys? Clip, please. We're not going to move on until this is resolved. Can you please
play the clip again? People can rewind and see it.
No. I want to address it again, please. Can you go back to the clip, guys? Please, put it up, please. It's better that we resolve this now so that people are clear. Yes.
Imagine this scenario.
Yes.
Where a Christian is praying to Jesus and saying, oh, imagine this Christian has some kind of disease like leprosy. It's like a skin condition. And he knows that Jesus can heal leprosy. And he prays to Jesus. And he thinks that Jesus is God and also the Son of God in the Trinity. And he prays, Jesus, heal me from my leprosy. And is this shirk or not? Obviously, it's shirk. It's shirk akbar, clear cut. No doubt about it. And anyone who doubts that praying to Jesus as God is committing shirk is also a kafir. Because it's very clear cut. This is praying to another god other than the God, Allah.
So that's the
Christian
clip there.
But then this Christian learns about
Islam. No. Let it go.
Did I not say it's shirk akbar?
Can you pause it? You are talking about a person who believes he's God. You're talking about, so that's not what we're discussing. We're in agreement on that point. We're not discussing that. We're discussing the second part.
Okay, the second part.
We're discussing the second part. That's the problem. Okay, now continue.
And then he becomes a Muslim. He accepts Islam. But he becomes like a Sufi. He becomes a Sufi Muslim. And he starts thinking about Jesus. Well, Jesus is a prophet. And Jesus had these different miracles. He could cure the sick by the power of Allah, by the will of Allah. So Jesus is like a wali. Jesus is like a saint. And I'm going to pray to Jesus. I'm going to do istighatha to the saint, to Jesus, okay, to heal my leprosy. Oh, Jesus, heal my leprosy. This is istighatha. So the wording is the same. The dua is the same. The only thing that is different is his beliefs, right? Because before he believed that Jesus is God. After, he believes that Jesus is a wali and is not God, and he's a wali that can only do miracles through Allah. But the act, the dua, is the same exact dua for the exact same thing and to Jesus. What has changed is just his belief about Jesus. Is Jesus God? Or is Jesus a person, a prophet, who has been granted the power to heal miraculously by Allah? Are these two acts exactly the same? The Salafis who say that istighatha and praying to the prophet or praying to Jesus is shirk
akbar, that's a question for you.
Like what Jake claimed and what all these other people are claiming. If it's shirk akbar, that means it's exactly like the dua that he was making when he was a Christian. But obviously it's not. Obviously there's a difference. Why? Because he has different beliefs. He doesn't think that Jesus is God anymore. He's a Muslim. He says the Shahada. He believes that only Allah is God and only Allah is Lord and only Allah should be worshipped as God. That's his belief. So how can what he says after becoming a Muslim be exactly the same as what he said as a Christian? It can't be. It can't be the same thing because his beliefs have changed. So that's why I think it's reasonable to say that, well, before when he was a Christian, he committed shirk akbar. After he became a Muslim, he's also doing something that, if you say it's shirk, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you that it's not shirk. But can I be 100% sure that what he did is shirk akbar in the same way as a Christian praying to Jesus? No, I can't say that with 100% confidence. Because there does seem to be a difference. There does seem to be an important difference there.
Okay, so is there a difference? Do you think there's a difference between the Christian and the one who is... Is there a difference?
Yeah, let me...
Is there a difference?
In the action, no. Absolutely not. The act is the act of worship. Okay? In the belief, how his belief changes, for example, now he removes the divinity from Jesus Christ and brings him into prophethood or wilaya, for example. He thinks Isa alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah. He's a wali. He's not God. But the act is still worship. You are using the word dua. You explain what you mean by istighatha. Here you're using one of the modalities of istighatha. One of the modalities is dua, direct dua. So you qualify that very beautifully. And then you go on to say that this act, which is worship, an act of worship, because the Prophet made it very clear that in Sharia, it only means an act of ibadah for Allah. Ad-dua huwa al-ibadah. I cannot put it more clearly. And then you say making dua to Jesus Christ, which is worshipping Jesus Christ, according to the Prophet ﷺ, you're not sure if it's shirk. This is going against basic tawheed. And this is exactly what Shah Waliullah is saying. Let me read him again. And here, you said, show me where Shah Waliullah said this is kufr or this is shirk, like the shirk of kufar. Okay, now.
Shirk that takes you outside of Islam. That's the question.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Let's go. Further, the definition of shirk with Allah in worship is to glorify other than Allah, seeking thereby to get near to Allah and salvation in the next life. Amongst the greatest illnesses of this time of ours is their worship of their shuyukh, whether living or of their graves when dead. The ignorant copy the disbelievers of India in worshipping their idols in their practices. They copy the worshippers of idols of India, mushrikeen. So these people are copying the mushrikeen of India, who are idol worshippers. And the definition of shirk with Allah in seeking help is to seek one's need from another while believing he has the power to accomplish it by applying a powerful will, like curing the sick, giving life and death. Exactly what you said in your clip. You said this person who believes that Jesus is God and he wants him to heal his leprosy. Then you go later on saying that now he doesn't believe he's God. He is now a prophet, a wali. But the dua is the same. You keep saying dua is the same. Heal my sickness. Heal my leprosy. Heal my illness. And what does Shah Waliullah say? This is the very definition of shirk. And this shirk is like the shirk of the disbelievers of India, idol worshippers. Allahu Akbar. I cannot believe that you're finding it difficult to understand. This is Shah Waliullah in his book, Taqheemat.
You read the same quote again. Okay. Can I? He never, yes. Where did he say? He said the ignorant copy the mushrikeen. Where does he say that these mushriks, he says they're ignorant. He doesn't say these mushrikeen copy the mushriks of India. He says they are ignorant. He says they're committing shirk and they're committing kufr, which is what I agree with. And I also acknowledge that, despite you lying about me and saying that I don't deny it. I do consider it to be shirk in some of these cases. However, he does not say they are mushrikeen. He calls them ignorant in the very quote that you're reading. So that's it. You're finished. Like, don't read these quotes for a third time. We heard it the first time. He calls them ignorant.
No, you didn't hear it.
Yes, I did hear it very well for the third time. You don't need to read it again. He says that they're ignorant. Now, let me finish my statement, and then we need to take a break. And then I have a beautiful video of yours that I want to play because I have to go pray.
I love my videos.
I'm going to play it for the audience while we just take a five-minute break, and then I'll give you a chance when we come back. You can respond fully. But again, we have to understand. So in this clip, I am saying istighatha. That's the context of the clip.
Dua.
We have to understand what istighatha is.
Dua.
Dua linguistically means what? It means calling.
You're not saying dua. Linguistically. You're saying call. You're making dua to the Western like he was before.
You claim that I have mixed up all of these issues. But if we go to the books of Bin Baz, if we go to the books of Ibn Abdul Wahhab, he says very
clearly. You misrepresent
clearly,
all of them. Like Shawri.
Sure. They say very clearly that calling to the prophets, calling to the jinn, calling to the angels, calling to the saints, calling to the stones, calling to the mountains, all of this is shirk akbar. Now, I asked you a very simple question. I said, is it shirk akbar to call upon the angels and to call upon the jinn instead of Allah? Is this shirk akbar, yes or no? And you can think about the answer to that question, and then we'll... Or unless you want to answer it now in a word. Is it shirk, yes or no?
This is not the topic we're discussing. We'll come back to it when you come back. No problem.
Okay,
I'm not moving on from dua. Today either we make tawbah or we show how dua is not ibadah. Or how it's not shirk. How making ibadah of someone else other than Allah is not shirk. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, let me share this screen and then we're going to go just for five minutes. Every audience.
Am I going off the screen as well? Am I going off
the screen
as well?
Yeah. We'll both be off and no one will speak. And then I hope everyone is enjoying the conversation. Alhamdulillah, I think it's been a very good, productive one. We appreciate our brother Adnan Rashid for taking the time with us to speak. And this is very beautiful of him to agree to this. And I'm going to share a very wonderful video where he's talking about history. This is the expertise of brother Adnan Rashid.
he's an expert in history, and he's giving a beautiful presentation on one of the historical artifacts in regarding Ottoman history. So let me just share my screen here, and you can enjoy this clip, and then I encourage you to go to his channel, and you can subscribe to his channel and watch this there and comment on it so it gets more engagement. I think you'll really love this. So stay tuned. Do not go away. We're coming back, inshallah. And now we will play this, bismillah.
At Fort Nelson in Portsmouth, Hampshire, Royal Armouries. You may be thinking, what am I doing here? I'm a historian, as you know, and I like to share historic snippets, historic shots, or historic anecdotes, or things to do with history, any historic objects, coins, manuscripts, monuments, weapons, right? Because they're all to do with history. I like to share some historic, inspirational information. Where am I right now? I've already told you. Why am I here? Specifically to see this thing, this giant gun. Okay, to put it in simple terms, this is a giant cannon which would fire balls, okay? Cannonballs made of stone. And guess what, everyone? This is an Ottoman manufacture. This was made by the Ottomans. You may be thinking, hold on a second, but we have heard of a cannon that broke the walls of Constantinople in 1453, and that particular gun or that cannon was made by a Hungarian cannon maker or a Hungarian manufacturer. But this is not the same gun. It is inspired by that particular gun. We know the history that Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih was very driven and motivated to do what his ancestors and predecessors couldn't do. What was that? To take Constantinople. This was the dream of all major Ottoman sultans before Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, including his father, Sultan Murad Khan. But they couldn't do it. Here we have this young man in his early 20s, and he is bent upon taking the city of Constantinople for Islam and Muslims. And in order to achieve that, he will do anything. So there is this man called Oban, right? He is Hungarian, he is a gunmaker, and he goes to the Byzantines, the Romans first, to offer his services to them. And obviously, the Romans didn't have any, desire to break the walls of another city because they had more to defend rather than attack. But on the other hand, the Ottomans needed such a person to build a super weapon for them so that they can break the impregnable walls of Constantinople. So Oban offered his services to the Ottoman Sultan, at the time Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih, and he was very enthusiastic in seeing what he can produce. Now, what you see here in front of me is a child, you can say, or is an idea born of that particular gun. That gun made by Oban was twice as big as this one. It was 30 feet long, okay? And even the radius was much larger than this one. This is actually a gun made by an Ottoman gun maker whose name was Munir Ali. We will see very quickly. And how this gun ended up here in Hampshire in this museum is also very important information that we want to share with you. We wanted to give you the background first, what inspired this production, this object in the first place. So it was Oban who had built that gun for Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih to break the walls of Constantinople. And this gun was instrumental in taking the city of Constantinople in 1453. Then in 1464, almost 11 years later, another experiment was done, and you can see some Ottoman inscriptions here. This gun was produced in 1464, and these are later inscriptions. Of course, they're not from the time. What we see from the time is right here, and the dedication to the Sultan and the name of the manufacturer and the date is very clearly inscribed on the front. So this is 3.5 feet radius. It's a very huge gun, which has the potential to inflict major damage to the people who are being fired upon. Okay, so here it states, Allahumma bi Nasri. Okay, Sultan As-Sultan Muhammad Khan. That's very clearly inscribed there. Then it says, Fi Tariq. The date is Sana 860 Hijri, to be precise. And then it says, it has the signature of the manufacturer, Al-Amal. Okay, Munir Ali, Shahar Rajab. Fi Shahar Rajab, in the month of Rajab, 860 Hijri, it was completed. And the engineer is Munir Ali. His name is there, Al-Amal, Munir Ali, the work of Munir Ali. You can see the Ottoman design there. It is very much Ottoman. This was an absolute game changer. The production of this gun and the one before it that broke the walls of Constantinople was a game changer. This is what caused the collapse of the Roman Empire. The Romans had been in Constantinople for more than 1,000 years. Obviously, we know the city or the metropolis was built by Constantine, Emperor Constantine, in the 4th century. He chose the spot.
That's a beautiful historic object in the UK, in one of the museums, Royal Armoury in Hampshire, near Portsmouth, and absolutely amazing place to visit. Many more items and objects are there from the Islamic dynasties. So I advise everyone to visit this place, inshallah. Can you hear me? I cannot hear you. I cannot hear you. Are we live, Brother Daniel?
I can, yeah. I can hear you, but there's some hissing. There's hissing behind your voice.
Okay, I'm fine. I can hear you perfectly clearly.
No, but we are hearing hissing.
I think this hissing is from my boiler, so just ignore it. Okay.
I think it's coming from your headphones. Did you change the source, like the?
No, I did not. I didn't touch it. I didn't touch it. Let me put them back in. Okay. Is it still there? The hissing sound?
Yeah, it's can weird. I don't know. I'm still hearing hissing.
Okay, you're muted, brother. Okay.
I shouldn't be muted.
The hissing is coming from the boiler, so just ignore it. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
You're not muted. I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. That's fine. And so let's continue the discussion, inshallah. We were talking about requests.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm saying it's very simple that the Prophet ﷺ used the word dua for ibadah. You were using it in the same sense because you talked about someone praying to Jesus for healing, leprosy, and other things, and believing at the same time that he was God. But then this person becomes a Muslim and adopts a view that Jesus is a prophet of Allah, he's a wali of Allah, but the action is the same. You make it very clear, okay? You say istaghatha, and then you bring it down to dua specifically, that this is one of the modalities of istaghatha, which is dua. And we know dua is ibadah. It's very simple, Brother Daniel, for you to say now that, yes, I agree, dua is ibadah, because you cannot disagree. The Prophet said it is ibadah. And ibadah is only for Allah. And if it's only for Allah, then ibadah to anyone else is major shirk that takes you out of Islam. Because this is what Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in means, and this is what amazingly Shah Waliullah also uses this ayah of the Quran in his book Hujjatullah al-Baligha, okay, in his famous magnum opus, okay, called Hujjatullah al-Baligha. In this book, he also, again, I quote, this concept, shirk, has various embodiments and forms. And the divine law only discusses embodiments and forms of it, which the people practice with the intention of shirk, so that they become anticipated sources of shirk and customarily inseparable from it. This is similar to the practice of the divine law in establishing the causes that, thank you. Sorry. There's tea for me. Very kind of my family. Okay. So I'm going to continue. This is similar to the practice of the divine law in establishing the causes that entail good or evil actions as being tantamount to those acts themselves. We want to alert you to those things which Allah has made anticipated sources of shirk in the divine law brought by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who brought it is that he forbade them. For example, among them is that they used to request assistance, yasta'inuna, with their needs, fil hawa'ijihim, okay, in their needs, such as in curing the sick and meeting the needs of the poor from other than Allah, what you were talking about exactly. This is about curing the sick and asking for cure. They would make vows to them expecting the accomplishment of their purposes through these vows, and they would recite their names hoping for their blessing. Therefore, Allah, may he be exalted, made incumbent upon them that they say during their prayers, "You alone do we worship, you alone do we seek for help." Allahu Akbar. So Shawaliullah here in Hujjatullah al-Baligha is saying that asking others than Allah to heal you, to cure you, is against or is contradicting Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Because Allah put this verse down to address people like this who ask other than Allah for healing. And this is exactly what you're talking about, Brother Daniel, because you made it very clear that praying to Jesus for healing of leprosy and things like that, while you're not believing that he's God, he's a prophet, but praying to Jesus for healing your illnesses, making dua to him, you're not sure it's shirk. That's what he's saying. Shawaliullah is again
saying... I did not say that.
You said you're not sure it's shirk.
I said it's not saying, sure it's shirk akbar that takes you outside of Islam.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
And again, in this quote that you're reading from Shawaliullah, he also does not say that it's shirk akbar that takes you out of Islam. He says it's shirk, which I agree 100%. We're agreed on that. But you just
okay.
The same point over and over without acknowledging my point. So that's fine. You don't want to address the point. That's fine.
Look, when shall
from Sheikh bin Baz. Okay, you read some statements. Now let me read a fatwa from Sheikh bin Baz. It has the question to the Sheikh. It has become widespread among some of the common people to say before sleeping, "Oh, angels of protection, wake me up at such and such time or at a specific time." Is this permissible? Sheikh bin Baz says, "This is not permissible to call to the angels for protection. Rather, it falls under major shirk, shirk akbar. This is because it involves calling upon someone other than Allah, calling to someone other than Allah and asking something from an unseen being, which is akin like asking help from jinn, idols, or the dead. This is in violation of the general ruling of Allah's statement from the Quran and that the masjids are for Allah. So do not call upon anyone along with Allah." This is from Surah Al-Jinn, verse 18. And his statement, Allah says in the Quran, "That is Allah, your Lord, to him belong sovereignty. And those you invoke besides him do not possess as much as the membrane of a date seed, khitmir. If you call upon them, they do not hear your call. And if they heard, they would not respond to you, the call. And on that day of resurrection, they will deny your shirk. And none can inform you like one acquainted with all matters." This is from Surah Al-Fatir. And in these ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, names the act of calling upon the dead, idols, jinn, or angels as shirk. He also says, "And there were men from mankind who sought refuge in men from the jinn, so they only increased them in burden." And Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun, "And whoever calls upon another deity besides Allah for which he has no proof, then his account is only with his Lord. Indeed, the disbelievers will not succeed." So Allah names those who call upon others besides him disbelievers. This ruling applies to all who are called upon besides Allah, whether they be the dead, whether they be idols, jinn or angels. The only exception is when one seeks assistance from a living person who is present and capable, as Allah states in the story of Musa. So the one from his faction called for help against the one from his enemy in Surah Al-Qasas. This shirk also includes sayings like, "Oh jinn, take him. O seven spirits, seize him. O midday jinn, take him. O jinn of such and such people, or O jinn of such and such country. All of this, like, all of this is major shirk and calling upon an individual other than Allah who is from the unseen beings. Thus, if someone says, O angels of God, wake me up or protect me. O household jinn, wake me up or protect me. This is major shirk. We seek refuge in Allah from such practices. It's obligatory for a Muslim to avoid such acts and seek help from Allah alone as he is sufficient, etc. So this is clearly stating from Sheikh bin Baz in his fatwa, calling to angels and calling to jinn is major shirk that takes you outside of Islam. This is this is your position, presumably. But I'm asking you, is it shirk akbar? Do you agree with Sheikh bin Baz that calling to angels and calling to jinn takes one outside of Islam? Do you agree with that?
Okay, first of all, I will not fall into this digression. It's a digression. Again, you are digressing from the main point, and I'm not going to allow that. We're going to get to jinns. We're going to get to angels. We're going to get to the modalities of istighatha. If you want me to be here for the next 5 to 6 hours, I'm a veteran. I'm battle-hardened. Okay, I go to Speaker's Corner, and I stand there for 8 to 9 hours talking to Jews, Christians, Zionists, Shia, Qadianis, and sometimes our own brothers from our side of the fence. We go on. So I'm here. We will address all of those. We're not moving on from du'a until I get a tawbah from you, because I really care about you, Brother Daniel. I really care. Wait. I know where you're going. I know. I understood your question. I know. You quoted Sheikh bin Baz saying that calling upon jinns, angels, and the dead is all shirk akbar. It takes you out of Islam.
But you're accusing me of being ignorant. Mixing things together. But in this fatwa, he has them all together.
You don't understand what Sheikh bin Baz is talking about. We will come to that. I know what Sheikh bin Baz is talking about. I'm aware of this fatwa. I know. Okay. Before we get to that, I want to establish the issue at hand. Is worshipping Allah, worshipping anyone other than Allah shirk akbar that takes you out of Islam?
Yes.
Is dua worship Islam in Sharia?
Depends on what you mean by dua.
No, I can call you.
I say, Adnan, please help me.
No. Calling is nada. Calling is nada. You can call nada.
It's also used linguistically. You can say dua.
No. Calling is
da'a yad'u. That's also da'a yad'u is also calling.
Again, the context is important here, Brother Daniel. The context you were using this word in was theological, directly worshipping, because you used it in that context. You said there is a person who believes in Jesus Christ as God. He prays to him, believing that he's God. So when you pray to believing someone to be God, then you're worshipping that entity. Then he changes his belief to becoming a Muslim and believes that Isa alayhi salam is a prophet of God, right? And then he does the same act that he was doing as a Christian, praying to him, which is worship again. So you use the specific context to use the word, and now you really have to disown that sentence and say, look, this was wrong. What I said was wrong.
If you define dua is only worship to Allah, if that's how you define it, then what I said in the clip is not using that definition of dua.
Okay.
In the clip, I'm using dua as calling, right? So he's calling to Jesus.
No, you use the word istighatha. Wait. You can't play this game.
You want to define it. You want a very technical, specific definition. So dua is an am term. Do you know the difference between am and khas, right?
Brother, this is getting embarrassing. Please, listen, Daniel. Look, we are brothers, okay? We can disagree, but listen, let's be straight about this. You use the word istighatha, you gave it a specific context. The word dua, you gave it a specific context. Dua under istighatha means worship, because Allah's messenger said that. Wait, he said, ad-du'a. You use the word dua in the technical sense in Sharia because you qualified.
I qualified calling because after his conversion, he converts to Islam.
But the act
so
is the same.
So he's calling to, he's doing istighatha.
But you Did said I the say? Act is the same. You said the act is the same. The call is the same.
The words.
You
say, like, you, if I say, yeah. Ya Adnan, is that the same as calling Ya Allah? It's the same act. It's the same act, correct?
Okay.
Ya Allah versus Ya Adnan.
I think let people now, I think you
are
not.
The act of calling
like,
is the same. Yeah. The act of calling is the same.
Brother Daniel, I sincerely fear. This is my fear. Again, I can be wrong. I sincerely fear lack of sincerity on your part. I'm not saying you are a munafiq, you are a liar. I'm not saying that. But I fear, this is my fear, that out of your ego, you don't want to hurt your crowd, you don't want to look bad. You don't look bad, by the way. Taking your words back, accepting that you have made a mistake, you used wrong words. It is not like that. I do believe making dua to anyone other than Allah is shirk akbar, because it's ibadah. Ibadah anyone to other than Allah is shirk that takes you out of Islam. It would be over. I would respect you. I would say, look, Daniel, you know, no problem. We all have this problem. We have slip of the tongue. We use wrong words sometimes to describe our concepts, right? And it can be a mistake. We are human beings. We are not superhuman. We are not all-knowing beings. We can make mistakes. All you have to say, Brother Daniel, I use the wrong word. Yes, I agree. Dua to anyone other than Allah constitutes worship. And worshipping anyone other than Allah, like the ulama have been saying, I quoted, including Shah Waliullah, he's saying, this is like the shirk of the idol worshippers in India. Calling to anyone other than Allah for healing, because that's what you use. That's the example you used for healing. Calling to anyone other than Allah for healing is like the shirk of the idol worshippers of India. They're mushrikeen. Shah Waliullah al-Dahlawi.
He didn't say they're mushrikeen. He said they're ignorant.
And they are like the idol worshippers of India.
Yeah, their act is. But he didn't say they're mushrikeen.
Okay. Look,
they're mushrikeen. He said they're ignorant.
I'll leave it to the audience. No problem. Let's move on to the next topic. No issue.
No. So, let me clarify again or respond to what you said. So, dua, you can't tell me what I meant when I was in that clip. First, you said that I wasn't even mentioning istighatha. Then you replayed the clip and everyone saw that I was explicitly saying we're talking about istighatha.
That
so
that's helps
the
me.
First, that's the first inaccuracy from your characterization.
But that helps
everyone
me,
saw.
Not you.
So yeah. Istighatha. And I said that this person has converted and become a Muslim. He said the shahada and he is making dua. The act of calling is the same. So if you understand this subject in theology, you know that the theologians, they will just differentiate between different types of calling. Calling, dua, nida, you said, it has all kinds of different applications and contexts. And so the act of calling is the same before and after conversion. It's the same. And it's also before and after is still shirk. But is it known with certainty to be shirk akbar that takes you outside the fold of Islam? That is the question that you haven't answered, because I asked you, is it exactly the same? And you didn't answer that question. And then I asked you, what about calling upon the jinn? What about calling upon the angels? What about calling on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his grave and asking the Prophet for something, like make dua for me in the grave? These are all dua. This is all dua in the lughawi sense. Do you know the difference between lughawi and istilahi?
No, so brother,
there's a difference.
I'm completely new to Islam.
Well, I'm just asking like a basic question. So lughawi definition of dua is to call. It's to make a request. So istighatha, when you study the subject, there are different forms of calling. There are different contexts and there are different conditions. Unfortunately, you want to take a heavy-handed approach. You want to mischaracterize my position. You want to claim that I think, oh, it's fine to do istighatha. It's fine to make dua to the Prophet. This Daniel thinks that this is okay. This is what you keep emphasizing.
No.
And the audience
no.
can see. I completely reject. I completely reject.
I have acknowledged.
Then why did you say that my tawheed is in question? It's you don't understand tawheed. This is your accusation against me. So
okay,
let me finish.
Let me quickly respond to that. Can we put up that tweet so then our positions are completely opposed? That particular tweet, can we put it up? And I'll show you how your tawheed is messed up.
Show the whole thread.
No problem. I just want to show everyone this tweet. Can you put that up? So then our positions are completely opposed. Okay, there you go. That's you talking. Okay, you are saying, so then our positions are completely opposed. You say, yes, it is known with certainty that going to the grave of the Prophet and asking him directly to healing is shirk akbar. Okay, like the Trinity or praying to an idol. I say, no, it might not even be shirk at all. So yes. Brother Daniel, wait, let me finish. You are saying here, and certainly not shirk like the Trinity. Let's debate it. Okay, so point is, you're saying it might not even be shirk at all. This is confusion of the highest grade about Tawheed. Wallahi, this is lack of certainty.
Let me explain it. Wait, let me explain.
You will explain. Let me finish. Let me do my speech first and then you can come and explain it. This statement in itself shows us you are not clear on Tawheed and shirk, because at one point you're saying it's shirk, but it's not shirk al-akbar. Okay, and I don't even know if it's 100% shirk. In this tweet, you're saying it might not even be shirk. You know, when you use the word might, this is doubt. You're not certain. You're not clear. So when you say it might not even be shirk at all. Allahu Akbar. Praying to someone other than Allah, calling upon them other than Allah for healing. Again, for healing. Yeah, you're saying it might not be shirk at all. What more do you need? What more do you need to know that you are confused about Tawheed and shirk? You are confused about basic things in Islam, Brother Daniel. This is why you have to abstain from talking about these topics publicly, because you are confusing a lot of people out there who follow you, who respect you, who love you, and they are getting confused because you are confused. And you don't seem to understand how much influence you have. You have a lot of influence.
If you want to give us substantive points, then feel free to speak as much as you want. But if you want to engage in ad hominem and tell me I'm confused and ignorant, just cut it short. We've already heard you say it many times, the same thing. We don't need that kind of speech over and over again.
Explain this to me.
Yeah, I'll happily explain this. Do you know the difference between something being ma'lum min ad-din bid-darura versus not? Yes. Do you know the difference between something being qat'i and something being dhanni?
Yes. So,
Let me finish. Yeah. Ma'lum min ad-din bid-darura. So the difference is, let me finish, please. Brother, this is very annoying for me and the audience because you interrupt every single sentence.
Shirk of worshipping anyone other than Allah is known by necessity. Ma'lum min ad-din bid-darura. Okay, now.
Yes, but there is all kinds of questions that arise. Is it worship to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like worshiping Lat and Uzza, or Jesus as God? Is it the same thing to go to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and directly ask for healing or directly ask for these things? Is it the same as worshiping the Trinity or praying to an idol? Is it the same exact thing? The quote that you read multiple times from Shah Waliullah says that yes, this is shirk, but it is not known with necessity. It is not ma'lum min ad-din bid-darura.
Where did Shah Waliullah say that?
Why?
Where did Shah Waliullah say that?
SubhanAllah.
Brother Daniel, stop misquoting people. Where did Shah Waliullah say that? That it's not ma'lum min ad-din bid-darura.
He says there's no explicit text from the Nusus.
Don't say that he said
there is no explicit text. Here, let me bring it up for you.
Allahu Akbar. Brother Daniel, this is more interesting than I thought. This is getting more interesting than I thought, seriously.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I agree.
But I must rate you that we are very talking in a very brotherly sense. There's no hatred. There are no hard feelings. I have nothing but sympathy.
I mean, it's serious when you say that someone's ignorant of Tawheed, to accuse that of a Muslim. That's a very serious.
There's nothing
wrong
with that.
Very serious. Let me show you. Let me read this quote.
Yeah.
Can you see it? It says, anyone who goes to the town, we read this, indeed he has committed a sin more grievous than murder and adultery. So notice first, he says it's a sin. Otherwise, other places he says it's shirk, okay, or it's kufr. But here he says it's a sin. His likeness is not but like those who worship the creation or like those who call on Lat and Uzza. So this is the third time we're reading it. However, we do not state explicitly that he has disbelieved. Due to the absence of a text from the Shari', from the lawgiver in this matter, there is no explicit text. So we cannot say with certainty that he is a kafir mushrik. You, however,
want to say he is a kafir mushrik. That's your fatwa. That's your hukm for the person who goes to the grave. And I'm saying that, no, there is some uncertainty because there's no explicit text. There is no explicit text from Allah in the Quran and Hadith that says this is shirk that takes you outside of Islam. Is it shirk? Yes. 100,000 times. Is it shirk? Yes. But is it known with certainty? Without a doubt. Knowing with certainty means there's no doubt. That means that there could be a chance that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah reveals that this is not shirk. Okay? That was our ijtihad, that it is shirk. But it's ijtihad. Ijtihad is dhanni. It's not qat'i. Why? Because there's not a qat'i text from the Quran and Sunnah that says this. This is what Shah Wali Allah is explicating and bringing the explanation to people through this text. And the other text that you read is a question of certainty. Can we say that this person has left Islam? And we cannot say that because there is no explicit text. Now, if someone comes and worships Jesus, there is an explicit text from the Quran that this is shirk akbar and that these are kuffar. When it comes to worshiping Lat and Uzza, there is an explicit text. If you come and worship an idol and you don't say the shahada, you believe that there's other gods with Allah, that you have committed shirk akbar and you're outside of Islam. There are explicit texts that speak to that matter, but there's no explicit text from the Quran and Sunnah that addresses the issue of someone who believes in Allah, says the shahada, is a Muslim, he prays and fasts, but he also goes to a grave and he makes this kind of request from the grave or the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. There is no explicit nas, there are no nusus that specifically discuss that in an explicit way. Therefore, Shah Wali Allah says, we do not takfir or say that this person has left the fold of Islam because he has committed shirk akbar, because there's no explicit text on the matter. This is what he means. So when I say that it's not known with certainty and that it could, that's what it means. That's what it means, that it's shirk, but it's not known with certainty. I've said this so many times. And unfortunately, people who don't understand the basic usul within this topic, and they don't know what other ulama have said throughout Islamic history, they don't know about Imam Ahmad calling to angels, they don't know about Ibn Taymiyyah saying it's permissible to call on jinn, they say Daniel is a mushrik, or Daniel is a shirk apologist, or Daniel doesn't know tawheed, as you just said multiple times. But this is because they suffer from ignorance. They suffer from an ignorance of what the nusus actually say, and usul. Because if you say, one of the consequences of saying that this is shirk akbar means that you have done takfir of all of the Sunni ulama in history who have said that there is not ijma on whether this is shirk akbar. So someone like Suyuti is a kafir mushrik because he says that this is not shirk akbar. Jalaluddin Suyuti is worse than Daniel because I say that it's shirk, but he, Suyuti, says that no, this is not shirk. Istighatha to the Prophet is not shirk. This is something permissible, maybe even it's mustahab. So this, you are not applying a consistent standard, and you are attacking me based on a misinterpretation. You are misinterpreting my words, and you are having a kind of su'a dhan. You even question my intentions and my sincerity. You say, I don't know if you're sincere, Daniel, but you are misinterpreting my words when I explain the meaning of what I'm saying and the background to what I'm saying, and I bring quotes from Shah Wali Allah, then you should be humble enough to say, oh, Daniel, I misunderstood what you're saying, and now it's clear for me. Thank you. Or you bring an objection to what I said. You don't bring another quote from Shah Wali Allah that, oh, he says it's shirk. Yeah, I know he says it's shirk. Does that clarify?
No, that doesn't clarify, because again, I insist, you are misrepresenting Shah Wali Allah, who categorically calls dua to the qubur or the sheikhs or the shuyukh, which is worship other than Allah, because he qualifies it by giving the verse iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in in hujjatullah al-baligha. So Shah Wali Allah qualifies it, and you said you haven't read other ulama, you don't know the context, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, you want to play that game, Daniel, let's go to other ulama very quickly. Ibn Aqil al-Hanbali died 513 Hijri, 513 after Hijrah. He states, and I will read the English first, and if you want me to read the Arabic, I can do that. When the ignoramus rabble found religious duties demanding, they left the dictates of the Sharia regarding worship for their own innovative constructions. This became easy for them since it was what they themselves invented. As far as I'm concerned, they are kuffar. وَهُمْ عِنْدِي كُفَّار بِهَذِهِ الْأَوْضَاعِ. This is what he's saying, okay? Because of these innovations, an example of this is the glorification and honoring of graves in ways and manners prohibited by Sharia, by setting up torches on graves, kissing and perfuming them. They also ask the dead to meet their needs and write on such graves, reading, O my master, do such and such for me. They take the earth from graves for blessing, pour perfumes on it, and travel to such graves. They tie up pieces of clothing on trees in imitation of those who worship Allat and Al-Uzza. Allahu Akbar. Same example as Shawaliullah. Here he's telling us explicitly, centuries before Shawaliullah Dehlawi, that to me they are kuffar, these people, for doing what they're doing. Okay? You will not find among them, among such individuals, one who can research an issue of zakah to such an extent that he will provide an appropriate ruling on that which is binding on him. But you see them condemning and castigating anyone who does not venerate the shrine of Al-Kaf or does not rub himself with the red brick dust of the Al-Malmusa Mosque on Wednesdays. So this is Ibn Aqil Al-Hanbali, okay, who died in 513 AH. He's saying, وَهُمْ عِنْدِي كُفَّار بِهَذِي الْأَوْضَاعِ. Okay. And he goes on to explain, وَخِطَابُ الْمَوْتَ بِالْحَوَائِجِ. Okay. That they are actually asking the dead to remove their needs. Okay. So remove this is very needs. Clear. Yeah. Imam, if you want to go more and more, I have an entire long list of ulama who are saying the same thing. Imam Shahabuddin,
I'm
not going to read them. I'm not going to read all of them. They're saying the same thing. Imam Abu Shama, Al-Maqdisi, Al-Shafi'i, Imam Shahabuddin, Al-Qarafi, Al-Maliki, okay? People can Google and find Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, okay? He's saying the same thing.
Just read Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Like, that's enough of a proof. I'm not denying.
No. You can't stick to one. Yeah.
So I'm not denying that there are scholars who considered it Shirk Akbar. You don't have to quote Ibn Aqil.
You just said you don't read scholars. You don't know the context. You don't know what scholars
are saying.
This is why I read this.
No. The burden is for you to show that there is no other major scholar in history who has the same position as I do. Because you say that I have misunderstood Tawheed because I say that this is not Shirk Akbar.
Show me one scholar. So I'm going to ask you a question now. Show me one scholar in the entire history of Islam who said making dua to other than Allah is not Shirk that takes you out of Islam. One, go on. I'm going to relax.
I read Shawali Allah at Dehlawi. I'll read you another one.
Don't let me talk.
Let me talk.
The word dua. I want dua. Yeah.
You just read quotes that talk about calling and making requests. The quote that you just read from Ibn Aqil says calling and make requests. He doesn't say dua only worshiping. That's not the argument that Ibn Aqil made in the quote that you just read.
Because they are using the example of Lat and Uzza. Because Shawaliullah used the same example to describe the shirk of these people, that they are like the ones who worship Lat and Uzza. You have the audacity to claim that Shawaliullah did not believe they are mushrikeen because they said we cannot make the clear. What Shawaliullah is saying,
prove where he said that they're mushrikeen. And you did not prove. You did not provide a quote for that. Now let me read you another quote. Let me read another quote. Alusi, the great Iraqi faqih in Ruh al-Ma'ani, says, so much of people increased in calling their saints, whether dead or alive, calling, and others besides Allah. Examples like, oh, my master so-and-so, save me. This is not permissible to wassul in any sense. It is unbecoming for a Muslim to utter such statements or even get close to it. Some scholars have deemed it shirk. Some scholars have deemed it shirk. And even if it is not shirk, it is close to it. I do not know of anyone who makes these statements except that he believes that the person he calls, whether alive but absent or dead and hidden, knows the unseen, can hear the calls, is inherently capable of or within the support of others, bringing good and preventing evil. If this were not the case, that he has this belief, he would definitely not call him or open his mouth. This is definitely a great trial from your Lord. One must be firm in avoiding it and not requesting such except from Allah. So he says, some scholars have deemed it shirk, and even if it is not shirk, so are you going to accuse Al-Alusi of being a mushrik or someone who's a shirk apologist who doesn't understand tawheed? Because exactly like Dihlawi, exactly like Shah Wali Allah, he says that this is shirk, this is haram, this is a grave matter, this is terrible to call on the saints. However, we do not do takfir. We do not say that this is a kafir who does this. Shah Wali Allah has that position. Al-Alusi has that position. I share that position. But you want to say that this is kufr or this is a lack of understanding of tawheed. Fine. Accuse Shah Wali Allah. Accuse Al-Alusi, the quote that I just read you. Be consistent. Don't just say Daniel.
Okay, I just told you earlier, Shah Wali Allah wrote an entire book on this topic, Al-Balagul Mubin. I have read the book. I don't think you have. You don't know Shah Wali Allah's position. I have
produced a quote.
Okay, I have produced the quote. Let people decide. I mean, if you don't want to internalize that quote, it's not upon me to force that down your throat. But let people decide. Shah Wali Allah equated this particular action with the worship of Lat and Uzza. And he also gave the example of the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers of India, whom you very happily always highlight and expose for the right reasons on your Twitter account. Well done. Okay. Shah Wali Allah equated those actions. Can you come back to the large screen so that I can...
I'm the one who's giving the quote that you read.
Okay.
I'm the one who's producing this quote.
Which one?
The one on Shah Wali Allah. I'm the one who has posted
this. I brought them up. You didn't have the quotes before. I brought them up. This is from my tweet.
Look at the date on the tweet.
I didn't see this tweet of yours. So anyway, coming back to your point.
So you're saying I'm ignorant of Shah Wali Allah. I'm the one who is tweeting this, January 15th.
Allama Alusi, rahmatullahi alayh, he uses the term tawassul. I do not know anyone who declares takfir of the one who makes tawassul through the awliya. Tawassul is a different matter to istaghatha, okay, and dua. You are deliberately conflating the two issues. Again, because I say deliberately because I've made it very clear. It's been 3 hours now. I've made it very clear that tawassul, okay, is different to istaghatha. Istaghatha has modalities. Not every type of istaghatha is shirk al-akbar. Okay, it's a very technical discussion. I'm specifically
It's not always shirk akbar?
No, it depends how you're making tawassul.
It depends. How?
Look.
So are you telling me you don't understand? I'm trying to understand. There are some types of istaghatha that are not shirk akbar. Is that what you're saying?
No. People use the word tawassul and istaghatha interchangeably. Okay, in many writings, you will see them using the ulama are using these two words interchangeably. It is the detail of the action that requires a hukum. The hukum is given upon the detail.
Isn't dua shirk?
What detail?
Why are you now talking about details?
I'll tell you why. Okay, by the way, your earlier position was the details are not needed. An action of kufr is an action of kufr. When you were discussing with Sheikh Kareem Abu Zaid, the issue of Brother Umar Suleiman, may Allah preserve him, when you were discussing issue, you said, you know, intentions are irrelevant. If it's an act of kufr, it's an act of kufr. Okay,
I didn't takfir him, did I? Did I takfir him?
You changed your position.
Did I say he committed shirk akbar that takes him out of Islam? Did I takfir Umar Suleiman?
How is it a different position? Wait. When it comes to the Shia, you change your position. Suddenly, you become very, very tolerant, very soft, and very, very different in behavior when it comes to Shia, and start giving them excuses to bring them into the fold of Islam with their erroneous and kufr beliefs. Okay, so this is another issue we will discuss very, very soon. Let me quickly come to Allama Alusi. You cannot bring me a quote from a scholar of Islam who said making dua to other than Allah, dua, the word dua, because that's the word you use. The problem is you are deliberately throwing the burden on istighatha, tawassul, and visiting the graves and things like, and then calling upon jinns and angels and things like that. I'm not discussing those topics. I am simply focused on your statement that you made that making dua to other than Allah, I'm not sure if it's major shirk.
This is the fifth time I have to explain that words can have many meanings. Dua can mean one thing in one context and another thing in another context.
Then let's move on to the next topic.